This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven.
I believe in an America where the separation of church and state is absolute, where no Catholic prelate would tell the president, should he be Catholic, how to act, and no Protestant minister would tell his parishioners for whom to vote, where no church or church school is granted any public funds or political preference, and where no man is denied public office merely because his religion differs from the president who might appoint him, or the people who might elect him. I believe in an America that is officially neither Catholic, Protestant, nor Jewish, where no public official either requests or accepts instructions on public policy from the Pope, the National Council of Churches, or any other ecclesiastical source. When no religious body seeks to impose its will, directly or indirectly, upon the general populace or the public acts of its officials.
Those were, of course, memorable words, of course, that you did not hear during the last 2 weeks at either political party convention. Those were, of course, the words of John F. Kennedy in his famous address to Protestant ministers in Houston way back in 1960. Hello, non-believers and seculars. We'll be talking more about religion and politics on today's Free Thought Radio. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves. This weekend is September 8th and 9th, 2012. Free Thought Radio is produced at and broadcast from Madison, Wisconsin. Free Thought Radio's podcasts and also broadcasts in other cities, including Atlanta, in Grand Rapids, in Columbia, Missouri, and other places around the country.
Ithaca. Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and we have two purposes. We work to keep religion out of government, which is quite a task these days, and we serve as the nation's largest, in the United States, the nation's largest association of free thinkers, atheists, agnostics, and other skeptics.
Didn't we have 30 victories this last week from our legal staff?
And last month. Yeah, well, you can read about that in the upcoming September issue of Free Thought Today, and you can ask for a sample copy at fff.org, or if you are a subscriber, you'll be getting that soon.
On the first half of today's show, we're talking about religion in politics.
And then for a change of pace, we'll talk with a Canadian state church activist who's fighting distribution of Gideon Bibles in schools by asking them to distribute a book written by my co-host, Dan Barker, called Just Pretend, a Free Thought Book for Children. It's turning into a big legal battle in Canada, and we'll be getting the inside scoop on this fascinating fighting fire with fire gambit with our guest, who will be Renee Chouinard, later in the program.
Now, the Freedom From Religion Foundation is nonpartisan and apolitical, but we are a state church watchdog, and that's an equal opportunity endeavor. And there's a lot to talk about with both of the two recent national political party conventions.
First, as reported last week, Cardinal Timothy Dolan, who is president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops and Archbishop of New York City, and in my opinion, quite a bully, invited himself to both political conventions to give a little benediction. And here's how he ended the benediction before the Republican National Convention.
Most of all, Almighty God, we thank you for the great gift of our beloved country, for we are indeed one nation under God, and in God we trust. Dear God, bless America, you who live and reign forever and ever. Amen.
Could he have fit any more religious cliches into those last 15 seconds of his prayer? I don't think he could have.
And you'll notice that a lot of those things that he referred to are these McCarthy-esque, Johnny-come-lately additions to our pledge and the money, things that were not part of our secular Founders. Heritage. Now, you'll recall, Cardinal Dolan is the leading Catholic crusader against the administration's contraceptive mandate. And you'll recall that an appealing Georgetown law student last year by the name of Sandra Fluke was infamously silenced by a congressional committee when she tried to testify in behalf of the need for the mandate. This mandate encompasses religious-associated universities and hospitals, such as the one she's attending at Georgetown, which is Catholic. She wasn't silenced this week, and we have a clip of Sandra Fluke's short talk at the DNC in which she takes this rather delightful jab at the celibate bishops trying to interfere with women's health decisions.
It would be an America in which access to birth control is controlled by people who will never use it.
You might recall that the Freedom From Religion Foundation took the lead in going after those Catholic bishops who were attempting to interfere with the civil and secular rights of women in our free country with our ads saying it's time to quit the Catholic Church that ran in several newspapers, including the New York Times, and a national ad campaign in June featuring one of America's most well-known and most beloved former Catholics. She's the actress, comedian, and Letting Go of God playwright, Julia Sweeney.
Hi, I'm Julia Sweeney, and I'm a cultural Catholic. I'm no longer a believer, and I even wrote a play about it called Letting Go of God. But I wanted you to know that right now, Catholic bishops are framing their opposition to contraceptive coverage as a religious freedom issue. But the real threat to freedom is the bishops, who want to be free to force their dogma on people who don't want it. Please join the Freedom From Religion Foundation and help keep church and state separate.
Now, the big news out of the Democratic National Convention was the last-minute machination to put God back into the Democratic Party platform. Actually, the word was God-fearing or God-given. One very insignificant Christian broadcasting network blogger nearly brought the DNC to its knees by a snarky analysis claiming that God was deleted from their platform. Fox TV immediately picked this up, this accusation, and of course, beat it like a dead horse. Voila! By day's end, this past Wednesday, President Obama reportedly personally intervened to ensure God's return to the Democratic Party platform. The godless line in question was changed Wednesday from inclusionary to exclusionary, specifically back to the 2008 language, saying we need a government that stands for the hopes, values, interests of working people and gives everyone willing to work hard the chance to make the most of their God-given potential.
So we want to play for you the actual roll call when Dems at the convention were suddenly asked to reinsert God into the plank. And it's fascinating to hear this. You're first going to be hearing the voice of former Ohio Governor Ted Strickland, who happens to be a minister. And then it will go to Antonio Villaraigosa, who's mayor of Los Angeles, who engineers the vote.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This summer, I was proud to serve this party as the platform drafting committee chair. As the chair, I come before you today to discuss two important matters related to our party's national platform. As an ordained United Methodist minister, I am here to attest and affirm that our faith and belief in God is central to the American story and informs the values we've expressed in our party's platform. In addition, President Obama recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and our party's platform should as well. Mr. Chairman, I have submitted my amendment in writing, and I believe it is being projected on the screen for the delegates to see. I move adoption of the amendment as submitted and shown to the delegates.
A motion has been made. Is there a second? Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, the matter requires a two-thirds vote in the affirmative. All those delegates in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those delegates opposed say no.
No.
In the opinion of the... Let me do that again. All of those delegates in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those delegates opposed say no. I guess.
You've got to rule, and then you've got to let them do what they're going to do.
Rule. I'll do that one more time. All those delegates in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those delegates opposed say no.
No.
In the opinion of the chair, two-thirds have voted in the affirmative. The motion is adopted, and the platform has been amended as shown on the screen. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Then this was a change of the rules, so they needed two-thirds, and clearly it looked like the nays had it, or at least it was
even.
Well,
he said in the opinion of the chair. I don't know what it sounded like to you listeners, but it sounded at least 50-50 to me.
So we have a pretty secular convention going on there, and look what they did.
But wasn't that interesting, the discomfort of not knowing how to decide that vote, not going his way, basically.
Well, things are going the secular way to see that kind of change.
Now, also at the DNC, we non-believers did get a shout-out by Representative Jared Polis in a speech which he gave. By the way, he ID'd himself as gay and Jewish.
My name is Jared Polis. I'm Jewish. I'm gay, I'm a father, I'm a son, I'm an entrepreneur, and I'm a congressman from the great state of Colorado. But first and foremost, I'm an American. Ladies and gentlemen, now is our chance to tell the dividers no, and to tell our fellow countrymen and countrywomen, gay and straight, Christians, Jews, Mormons, Muslims, and non-believers, rich and poor, black and white, Latino and Asian, it's time to tell them yes. Together we are stronger. Together we are better. Together we are America.
Well, we got one tiny crumb.
And we were lumped with Muslims and non-believers. You know,
God put back in the plank. Now, I wrote a blog. What if they gave a political party and God forgot to go about all of this? And you can find it at ffrf.org/news/blog. And it is, of course, frustrating and depressing that in a nation predicated on a godless constitution, a political party must inject God into its platform to avoid a gotcha moment. But I'm hopeful someday soon that gratuitous political piety will once again be seen as tasteless pandering, and that public dissing of freethinkers and atheists will be seen as just plain bad manners. And then the intent of our founders will be honored, that there shall be no religious test for public office, and there should be no religious test, of course, for good citizenship. And the reason I'm hopeful, I don't know about you, Dan, is that although we saw this rewriting of the plank, we saw the democracy kind of overridden here to get God back into the plank, this is the same party that is now openly embracing marriage equality, and I would point out the opposition to same-sex marriage is universally religious in nature. So we've seen a mini-revolution taking place, and we saw speaker after speaker working into their talks a reference to Americans being able to marry whomever they love. So supporting gay marriage was considered a political kiss of death for a presidential candidate, until suddenly it wasn't. So suddenly, someday, soon, I hope, we'll hear public officials identifying themselves as non-believers, praising Americans for being able to believe or disbelieve. We'll get more than a crumb like we got from Representative Polis. And we seculars are 19% of the population, according to Pew. We have a voice. We have a vote. We have a vital message. Freedom depends on freethinkers. Freedom depends on keeping religion and religious dogma out of government. And free thought is not just respectable, but laudable. And we who value the use of reason in forming our opinions about religion will not be marginalized as kooks or zanies or as an insignificant minority to be batted away like pesky flies. We are of the tribe of Voltaire, Wollstonecraft, Jefferson, Paine, Mill, Stanton, Darwin, Du Bois, Einstein, Sanger, Sagan.
Meanwhile, the Freedom From Religion Foundation has placed the antidote to all of this religious talk, this theopolitical glossolalia, or what's the word when you talk too much? Logoria. This Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John-aria. Our two billboards that are up now in Charlotte, and one was in Tampa last week also, the billboards that advise, wisely, God fixation won't fix this nation. Let's listen again to FFRF's TV commercial that aired this last spring on CBS News, on Meet the Nation, and on CBS Sunday Morning, partly in response to Rick Santorum's attack on JFK's famous words.
I believe in an America where the separation of church and state is absolute, where no religious body seeks to impose its will, directly or indirectly, upon the general populace.
Let's restore respect for America's secular roots. Help the Freedom From Religion Foundation defend the wall of separation between state and church. Join us at FFRF.org. Freedom depends on freethinkers.
We invite you to join FFRF. Your dues help us reach the mass media and the unmasked masses with more such commercials.
Coming up, we're going to talk a little more about separation between church and state, and then we'll speak with a Canadian state church activist about his unique way, his family's unique way of fighting back against the Gideons in the public school.
And it has something to do with you, Dan. Aren't you surprised?
So stay tuned.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we've been talking about religion and politics. So as an antidote to that, we want to play We the People. That's an original song by Dan Barker, and going into the Godless Constitution and Godless Pledge. And as you listen, you'll hear a Madison backup choir chorus, including Phyllis Rose and Robert Kimbrough.
We took a stand to declare our independence from kings. We knew that we the people could rule this land and show the world how true freedom rings. We wrote a constitution, the very first to separate the church from the state. No one can tell the people what to believe, and that's what makes this nation so great. Secular nation, we are servants no more to the old sovereign rulers. We will no longer nod. We are e pluribus unum, not one nation under God. We will bow down to no master. We will kowtow to no lord. We're a free secular nation. We are servants no more to the old sovereign rulers. We will no longer nod. We are e pluribus unum, not one nation under God. How true freedom rings. We wrote a constitution, the very first, to separate the church from the state. No one can tell the people what to believe, and that's what makes this nation so great. Revolution. We took a stand to declare our independence from kings. We will bow down to no master. We will to no king. We're a proud secular nation. We will let freedom ring.
That was We the People by Dan Barker, my co-host. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. Stay tuned to hear from Renee Chenard about fighting Gideons in Ontario, Canada.
This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
In Canada, the Ontario Human Rights Tribunal has agreed to hear a complaint by a Niagara Region parent who's objecting to Gideon Bibles in his daughter's school. In 2010, Renee Chenard, and that's spelled C-H-O-U-I-N-A-R-D. Renee Chenard took issue with the District School Board of Niagara when his fifth grade daughter brought home a slip which would allow the Gideons to give the girl a Bible with parental permission. We have on the phone with us from Canada the father of that girl, Renee Chenard, who will tell us a little bit more about this whole fracas that's going on. Welcome to Free Thought Radio, Renee.
Well, thank you, Dan.
And Renee, you live in the province of Ontario, Canada, correct?
Yep, we live in Grimsby, Ontario, which is just a little ways from Niagara Falls.
Okay.
And I guess I met you briefly a couple years ago at the World Religions Conference. Was that where it was?
Yeah, yep, that's right.
Yeah, that was pretty. They invited an atheist to a World Religions Conference, and so you and a bunch of secular humanists showed up, and we took our place at the table.
Well, that's where we belong. I mean, non-belief is obviously not a religion, but it is properly a religious perspective. And anytime we're going to be talking about religion, the concept of non-belief needs to be represented as well. It's the fastest growing perspective in all of North America, certainly easily in Canada. It's growing quite fast.
So can you tell us what happened? I know that you've made this complaint on your fifth grade daughter, who's now in grade 8. But this goes back to some of the other, you have three children, one's in high school, one's just graduated. When did they and you first become aware of this practice?
Yeah, it's a funny practice. It's kept very quiet when they do distribute it, and not all the principals agree to even distribute it. But when it is done, it's done in grade 5. My eldest son was in grade 5 in 2004. So I became aware of the practice then. I complained about it at the time to both the school principal and then on to the board superintendent. I got a copy of their policy. It was already overdue for a review, the original policy actually named Gideons by name and it basically said Gideons and no one else. So we complained about it then. I complained about the following year. I was getting ready to take it to court then, and then they changed the principal at the school, and the new principal said, this got nothing to do with education, I'm taking it out. So I thought, okay, the school board kind of got the message, and they're probably going to quietly, remove it and not make a big deal about it. But about 3 years later, when my youngest daughter in 2010 got to grade 5, sure enough, the practice, the principal changed again, and the practice had been reinstated, and, they're just quietly doing this in the background and hoping not too many people notice. We talked to the school council, who were supposed to be consulted, and they had no clue what was going on.
Now, how did it work? How does the Bible distribution work?
Well, it's not even the Bible that gets distributed or that we're complaining about. It's a note. They go to the parents, they give all the kids a note. Obviously, the kids can read the note, so it's explaining that Gideon, the Christian organization, the Gideons, will do a Bible distribution, and if you sign the note, then your kid will stay after school and receive the book. Basically, our complaint was, well, hang on a second, if you're doing that with Christian, with the Gideons, then you have to do it with all other groups, including non-belief. And this is actually where there's a tie-in with Mr. Mr. Barker there, because we had to find something to distribute in order to challenge to see if they were doing this fairly. So we offered to distribute to our own child's class one time, 1 year, just pretend. And, you know, just to see that, you know, would you be willing to distribute non-belief material or material from other groups? And when they refused, then we felt that, okay, you're outside of the law here.
So you were doing that to make a point. You didn't really want to distribute secular humanist atheist material to the children, right?
I was just going to make a joke about maybe you'd like to donate them or something, but to be honest, no, I don't want to do that. I would make the joke, but it wouldn't really be funny because, frankly, I don't think it's appropriate to be going after other people's kids. If you have religious beliefs, whatever they are, whether it's promoting a religion or whether it's non-belief, family's important, and to go out and start handing children material that effectively says, gee, we disagree with your parents.
Well, I would have donated books, you know, if you'd asked. I would have donated maybe...
We can't donate enough for the whole province of Ontario. We're going to make them.
But for your class, for the four the four children in your class whose parents would sign the slip.
We would gladly donate.
Well, I have to tell you, Ontario is actually pretty progressive. There's at least three kids whose parents are fairly open in that class of non-belief, and frankly, I think we would have probably distributed more just pretend than we would have the Gideon Bible.
Well, that would have been fun. Well, it may still happen. Now, Renee, I like the way you put it, that you don't think that you have a right to go after other people's children. This is how I see the Gideons International. They're based in Tennessee, that they are predators. And in the United States, they're not allowed to come into the schools and distribute Bibles. It's not allowed what's going on in Ontario. But they'll go out on they'll do it anyway, and we're always chasing them away. But they'll also go out on the public sidewalk and be sort of a traffic hazard. And I think they are predators, and there's something very unwholesome about these grown men preying on P-R-E-Y and P-R-A-Y on fifth graders.
Well, remember that story? Some of them were tossing the Bibles into the school bus windows?
Yeah, stuff like that. We get all kinds of wild stories. So,
I think anybody that goes after children is a predator. I exactly agree with that description of it. There is some really bad predators that do a huge amount of harm to a relatively small number of kids because it's only the kids they directly contact. But in this case, we have organizations that are preying on children. Let's face it, anybody growing up in today's society that wasn't indoctrinated when they were very young, I don't think are going to be very solid believers in any of the old mythology. So, a very small intrusion on a whole lot of kids' lives. I won't say that the harm is equivalent to some of the other types of predation, but certainly the scope is something comparable for sure.
So what happened then after you complained?
Well, we complained to the board, and we went and had a meeting at their office, and they insisted that there was absolutely nothing wrong with their policy and that there was no reason for them to change it and that everybody was in favor of it and all this sort of stuff. And I'd heard this the first time I'd gone around when I complained about my son, and I thought, you know what, this is going to go the same place the last time did. They're not doing anything. So we went and talked to a lawyer, and he kind of laughed. He couldn't believe that they had this policy. And he said, well, we'll just write them a letter, and they'll drop the policy immediately because they know there's no legal standing here. But if they don't, there's a human rights tribunal, which means you don't have to pay a lawyer. You can just enter a claim. And, the average family couldn't afford a legal battle. But this was a venue that we could use. So we submitted this legal letter fully expecting that at the next board meeting the whole policy would be dropped. They dug their heels in instead. We filed the complaint the very next month, which is a record speed for any board or any government body to change a policy. The policy was changed, reworded, to say that material would be distributed from groups if they could get the director of education's permission first. And basically the only group that has ever gotten the directors of education's permission is, of course, the Gideons. So it was just a rewording. We then went to the tribunal people and we said, well, you know what, they've changed their policy. We've looked at it. We offered to distribute material first, which they then refused. And then we went back to the tribunal. We said, well, let's alter that claim to include both policy. So we basically have two claims out against them at the moment. They're being heard together as sort of one claim, but there's the original wording and then the new wording, and I think we'll win hands down on both of them.
Now, I read that the school officials said that they consulted the Ontario Multi-Faith...
The Ontario Multi-Faith Manual.
Yeah, to see what would be allowed and what wouldn't be allowed in schools, and what was their conclusion?
Well, it's an interesting piece. The government has this body. I have no idea. I think it was just something they needed to spend money on. Not too sure what its purpose is. The Canadian government does that a lot. They have this organization that kind of went around and listed a bunch of the religious organizations. They had some criteria and that you had to be willing to acknowledge the value of the other organizations and stuff like this. But basically, it was a listing of some of the better-known religious organizations. So the school board said, well, we're going to use that as our guide. And guess what? Secular humanism or non-belief or atheism or anything like that, it's not listed in there because it's not a religious perspective or a religion. So therefore, that's the basis on us saying that you can't distribute.
Well, that's a little bit of a catch-22,
isn't it?
There's
a little bit of one there, but, you know, it kind of went both ways because I got a copy of it. It had lots of interesting groups that I don't think many people would support having distributing material to their parents or to their children. But the one group it didn't have was the Gideons.
Huh.
So.
Oh.
And they have continued to distribute for them, very limited as far as I know. But it has occurred. So, you know, they were trying to be smart on that one, I think, and try to find some sneaky way of getting rid of us pesky atheists and. They kind of shot themselves in the foot because they undermined their own program and that they're trying to protect.
Now, we have to take a break in a second, but to cut to the chase, you did get a vote in your favor in June, didn't you?
Yes, we had a preliminary discussion, and there was a decision that was to allow some other organizations to join the case, which means that now there's some lawyers. The school board has hired best lawyers, constitutional lawyers they could find in Toronto, and going up against me as an individual without counsel. So now there's some other groups and they do have counsel, so it'll make the hearing much more interesting.
Well, we'll be back to talk more about the upcoming hearing, I think that's in February, and your fight to get rid of Gideons in your public schools in Ontario.
We're talking with Renee Chenard.
I'm Annie Laurie Geller with Dan Barker.
I'm Dan Barker.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
We're back. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we have on the phone with us from Ontario, Canada, a concerned father, Renee Chouinard, who is fighting the Gideons in his public schools on behalf of his children. And we've been talking with him about this case. His complaint is going up to the Ontario Human Rights Tribunal, where he is alleging he's been discriminated against, he and his family, due to creed. They're going to be hearing it in February. And Renee, you've been giving us some of the background. Several other school districts in Ontario are now dropping the Gideons, but not your school district. Why is that?
It's an interesting case study, actually. Many of the larger urban areas have dropped it years ago. Certainly Toronto has not allowed it for quite a while. There's a lot of immigration in Canada, and there's a lot of ethnic diversity in Canada. So school boards there had the common sense to get rid of this a long time ago. I mean, you just simply can't favor one religion when you have a multicultural environment. A lot of these smaller, often rural school boards have still been hanging on to it. What's been happening in the last few years, since we've launched the complaint at least, I think there's three different school boards where this has come up in their councils, and in every case they voted to get rid of the Gideons. They're going to have to anyway. It's clearly not legal. So I think they're looking at it. They're looking at the expense involved in our school boards having been being challenged, and have just decided to avoid the whole thing and drop that completely. Our board, I'm not 100% sure why. I mean, frankly, I think they just simply didn't want to admit that they were wrong, have entrenched themselves, and they've kind of gone the other way and said that they were going to try to open it up and let other religions in. One other board did actually try that briefly, a Waterloo school board, actually the same school board that the Free Thought Group you visited a few years ago with me, Dan.
That's right, in the Kitchener area.
Yep, Kitchener-Waterloo, yeah. And their board actually said, well, they did what our school board is trying to do, too. Oh, we're going to open it up, except they actually were serious, and the local Muslim group, which was with the best of intentions, said, well, okay, you know, let's do that. We'll hand out the Quran, and you guys can handle the Bible, and the kids can have a discussion. It'll be a good thing. It's all these people who are insisting that there's nothing wrong with handing out Bibles showed their colors pretty quickly at that point. And it didn't take, I think it was a couple of days before the Muslim group had so many threatening calls, what have you, that they withdrew the request, and the school board very quickly moved to ban all distributions altogether. The Gideons have been around for a long time. It's an old tradition. These things sometimes die slowly, and I honestly don't understand why the particular school board that we're in is digging its heels in so much. It's ridiculous. It's a waste of money. It's clear they're going to lose. They're spending a huge amount of money on very expensive lawyers trying to defend this. It's absolutely clear in our law, both of our provincial law, which is what I'm challenging it under, because there is this tribunal system, so I can afford to, but also under our federal law. We pay lip service to a deity of some sort in some of the legislation, but certainly everything else in legislation in Canada, as in the U.S., is separation of church and state. It's just not legal.
Now, when you're talking about provincial law, are you talking about the Ontario Ministry of Education's Equity and Inclusive Education Strategy? Is that the...
Well, that's an interesting piece of legislation. Actually, it's the Ontario Human Rights Code is the code that I'm challenging it under. That functions in Ontario much the same way as the Constitution does federally. So it supersedes other legislation unless a specific exemption were made. So any time there's two pieces of legislation and one conflicts the other, this is the legislation that would prevail. It's the code. It's usually referred to as. But the school, the Ministry of Education, around the same time, around 2010, was also trying to push this new, I'm not sure if it was actual law or if it was a school board policy, but basically, I mean, if you read it, it basically said, guys, you have to follow, the Human Rights Code better. It's very, very close, and I mean, it very strongly kind of suggested that this sort of stuff shouldn't have been going on, and the school board just decided to interpret that with, whatever loopholes they can find in it and try to say, well, instead of removing it, we're going to make it so that it's inclusive of other groups. But, I do want to stress that the language is inclusive. The practice is only Gideons have ever distributed anything in the Niagara School Board so far, and the school board has made no attempt whatsoever to get anybody else in there distributing anything.
The Gideons, an all-male sexist organization where women are not allowed to participate, named after a murderous person in the Bible, Gideon himself, who had how many wives and how many of his children did he kill? I mean, he was not a very savory character if you read about him. But I want to ask you, in Waterloo, the community was scared by the Korans being introduced to their children. What do you think is worse, the Koran or my book, Just Pretend? What do you think would scare people more?
Which do I think is worse, or which
would scare people more, a book that... talks about Allah, or a book that compares God to Santa Claus?
Because I liked your book. I think what's really scary to the school board is that people wouldn't be afraid of your book. Because frankly, like I say, I mean, Grimsby is a small town. It's supposed to be, one of these Christian fundamentalist areas. And there is a lot of people think I'm being attacked, when I walk down the street for being openly atheistic. It's exactly the opposite. I've had several people contact me. Every single one, has contacted me to congratulate me, to thank me. I think there would be a lot of interest in your book. I know that the religious groups...
Well, we're watching this very carefully.
I might have to send 25 copies.
Yeah,
you might have to reprint your book, Dan.
Yeah.
Renee, Do you know the statistics on freethinkers and non-believers in Canada? It used to be 20 or 30%. Is that about right, or is it bigger?
It's very difficult to put a number on that. The best source of information for that would be the Canadian Census, which is done every 10 years. Unfortunately, the census question relating to religion is, which religion are you? And if you're not religious, which religion do you feel closest to?
Oh,
and then
no.
It suggests that, you know, what you were baptized in or married in or funerals that you went to. So, I mean, it is the most biased question you could possibly think of.
Except that people who take that are basically saying they're not who opt for the second question are saying they're not religious, right?
Well, it's a single question.
Oh my gosh. So it's a
you can't opt out.
That's terrible.
You kind of can't. You can write in the religion of your choice though, and I usually write in atheist, but if you even with that question in 1981, I think 7% of the people indicated something that was non-belief related. In 1991, that number had moved to I think it was 12.5, and 2001, that number had moved to over 16%.
Wow. So
even with that bias of a question, we're growing, by about 5%.
Yeah, and I know there's more non-believers proportionately
absolutely.
In Canada than the United States.
Other studies that have been done, even by the same organization, yeah. Stats Can, and I think they have a little bit of a bias, to be honest. But
we're out of time, Renee.
Yep.
But thank you so much for taking on this fight, and keep us posted.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on.
We've been talking with Renee Chouinard, who's battling the Gideons in Canada.
Using Dan Barker's book, Free Thought Book for Children.
The show is produced in Madison, Wisconsin. We want to thank Dave McCann, our producer. Find out more about our show at ffrf.org/radio.
You can sign up to join FFRF at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. We're glad to send you a complimentary issue of our very interesting newspaper, Free Thought Today, edited by Bill Dunn. And tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, ffrf.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.